The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
At the Gap, and other C word, carbon taxes, just as terrifying to some. The CEO of the ESRI, Alan Barrett, he was on the show here yesterday talking about carbon taxes, because of course the government are faced with the prospect of having to increase carbon taxes. That was the plan. They're going to have to give that the seal of approval or otherwise in the budget next Tuesday, and some have suggested that they shouldn't do it. Such have been the increases in energy prices in recent weeks. Well, this was addressed by Alan Barrett of the ESRI yesterday. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I think there's a lot of discussion at the moment because of the energy price increases that we shouldn't be sort of compounding this with carbon taxes. I think that's completely wrong analysis. I think we need to see the carbon tax increases kicking into place. I absolutely think we need to ensure that social welfare is increased in such a way that lower income people are, you know, are insulated from those difficulties. But the notion that we should roll back on like a sort of a central plank and a central pillar of carbon-related policy, I think that's a concern.
That was Alan Barrett, the CEO of the ESRI. Danny Healy, or Michael Healy-Ray, apologies. Michael Healy-Ray is an independent TD for Kerry who joins me now. Michael, always good to catch up with you. Do you agree with Alan Barrett, or should we hit pause on the planned increase of carbon taxes?
No, I don't agree with him, because I live in the real world where I attend an awful lot of clinics around the county of Kerry, and I'm only representative of every other politician around the country whose job is taxed to be a representative of the people. The people that I'm working for and that I'm there to speak up for are finding it extremely difficult to manage at present. The reason being that ESB bills are going up, the cost of fuel is going up, the cost of filling an oil tank has more than doubled in the last year, gas prices have gone up, and they're finding it extremely difficult at the end of every week to try and have enough money to educate their children and to pay their bills and keep their house in order. And that is why, and I just want to say at the very beginning, because I always say it during these type of debates, I'm not a climate change denier. But what I do live in, I live in the real world of dealing with the problems that people have. And when I have people in front of me with tears in their eyes wondering how are they going to manage, that upsets me, the same as it would upset you and every right-thinking person. And when I hear people like the person who has just spoken saying, no, look, we have to drive on, we have to do this, we have to do that. And at the same time, when I examine and when I peel back some of what they have done, they being the people who say, well, we have to do this and we have to achieve this target by this date. Look at what they're actually after doing. Last week, we proved it. We brought in 4,000 tons of peat from Lafayette to supply our horticultural industry where we have 17,000 people working. And at the same time, we're exporting peat out to Germany. And at the same time, we can't supply our own peat in this country. We're selling peat briquettes from Germany. And I it's not as though I'm saying anything against the Germans. They're seeing a great opportunity at making money out of Ireland. But, like, talk about shooting ourselves in the foot. We've shot every toe off our feet over the last number of months, and it's signed into law and into legislation, and it's going to be there for a long time.
Let me bring in Oisin Coughlan, who's Director of Friends of the Earth Ireland. Oisin, thanks a million for joining us as well today on the show. Do you agree, should the government pause this year's planned increase in carbon taxes?
I think they should go ahead with the increase in the carbon tax, but I think there needs to be a laser-like focus on using the revenue from the carbon tax to protect those at risk of fuel poverty. And actually, the increase that's due next week in the carbon tax, that's been agreed since the last government, won't have any immediate effect on home heating. It only applies from next week to petrol and diesel. Any increase on coal, briquettes, gas for home heating won't come in, on oil for home heating, won't come into effect until next May. But actually, the revenue raised from the carbon tax, which flows in every year now, and will start flowing in at an increased rate from next week, can be used and should be used to protect those at risk of fuel poverty. So, for example, the Vincent de Paul and Age Action, and we take our cues from them a lot with regard to what's best in this area, are saying we need to see the fuel allowance, the period that it's given for, extended from 28 weeks to 32, and that costs €42 million. That should absolutely be announced next week. And the increase in the carbon tax will bring in €108 million over the next year. So a little bit less than half of that should go straight into the fuel allowance to ensure those at the greatest risk of energy poverty are protected.
Let me go back to Michael with that proposal. Michael, you heard Oisin saying it there. No immediate increase in home heating prices. There would be an increase at the pump, the diesel and petrol pump, and use that money to actually make home heating even cheaper.
Well, there wouldn't want to be an increase next week in the cost of home heating oil or gas, because already it has more than doubled in the last 12 months. So I certainly wouldn't be hoping that it would go up next week, but it's not going to go down next week either.
But you could use the money, you could use the revenue raised at the pumps, is Oisin's suggestion, to actually bring it down.
No, but it's not going to work that way. It's not going to work that way. And what's going to happen is we're going to have a situation where home owners, young people with young families, are going to find it extremely hard to live. And all they're going to hear for the next number of years, up to 2030, is increases in the cost of living. And all in the efforts of reducing our carbon. And at the same time, having such a negative impact on the way they live and on the way they try to survive in their homes. And it is going to be extremely difficult on those people. And the people like Oisin, who are promoting this and saying we should drive on regardless, they seem to have total and absolute disregard for what this is going to mean to struggling families. And I really mean it. I think an awful lot of people don't realise what is going on in our communities at present. Mm. And people's cost of living has gone up so much. And at the same time, their earning potential, their earning power, their wages have not gone up accordingly. And then when I hear people saying, oh, well, the taxes that are accrued should go to help these people. I mean, that's absolute nonsense, because you know as good as I do, it's not going to happen. I'd be delighted if it was.
Yeah.
And if I thought, oh, yes, this might happen, I'd say, well, you know, that would be great. Are you seriously trying to tell me that social welfare is going to go up in accordance with the cost of living? It is absolutely not.
Okay.
Like the price of home heating.
Let me go back to Oisin.
But are the welfare payments going to double in accordance with that? They are not.
Okay, Oisin?
Well, I would be shocked if there isn't movement on the fuel allowance next week. And I'd be shocked if there isn't movement on welfare rates to in order to protect those at risk of fuel poverty, given the increases we're seeing in prices more generally. Because if the government would be misreading the signals out there with regard to the cost of living, if they don't take action to protect those at greatest risk.
Oisin, I suppose that's maybe a separate issue to a degree, social welfare rates. I know they're linked to the cost of living and carbon taxes are as well. But just in terms of, you know, measures, introducing fiscal measures to get people to change their behaviour, Oisin. And this idea, Michael says that, you know, that he lives in the real world. I just found it fascinating, the Irish Times, the front page story today, their Ipsos MRBI poll, and the lack of appetite amongst the general public to really absorb any of the financial pain.
Well, I disagree with you on that, in the sense that there's two things. One is, it's not at all surprising that when you ask people a straight question, would you like a higher tax? They say no.
I mean, they didn't ask, would you like it? Would you support it? Or would you be opposed to it?
Yes, okay.
And the overwhelming majority of people oppose higher taxes on energy and fuel. They oppose reducing the size of the national herd. They oppose higher property taxes for homes that are less energy efficient. They oppose higher taxes on air travel. The only thing that got support was allowing more land to be used for wind turbines. And that's soft support. I mean, in abstract terms, we're all for it until it's in someone's back garden and then the opposition appears.
I took issue with the way the Irish Times asked these questions today, because they focused on cost only, whereas in fact there's lots of support out there for investment, which is why the ideas of the Green New Deal and the Just Transition are about investing in the public services and the new innovative forms of energy, from solar to wind, etc., that will actually create jobs, and retrofitting, for example, will create tens of thousands of jobs in Ireland over the next decade. It is very unfortunate the Irish Times chose to focus only or mostly on those issues that involve higher taxes. But as someone else pointed out, it's actually quite surprising that there's 40% of people who are supporting higher taxes on air travel.
Would you personally support or would you be opposed to a ban on building new data centres? Now, that has nothing got to do with higher taxes, and more people are opposed to it.
Yeah, but it's equally, that was a slightly strange one, in that while there was one political party supporting a bill for a ban, most campaigners are not talking about a ban on data centres. Yeah. We're saying they currently use 11% of our electricity, which is a lot compared to 2% in the rest of the world. How much of our electricity do we want to give to them? Is it 11 or is it 25% that EirGrid is predicting for the end of this decade? Let's pause and have that conversation and see how we manage and regulate data centres. Yeah. Because every electricity we give away to them, so to speak, means, you know, we have to have more gas or more electricity, more wind turbines, more gas-fired power to keep the lights on.
Can I give a final word to Michael? Because Michael, a text has come in on 53106. Can you ask Michael Healy-Ray, who will pay for delaying cutting of emissions? Has he asked the children of Kerry?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. It does not make sense to bring in measures that are so crazy that the alternatives are absolutely ludicrous. And I will give you the one example. Stop making peat briquettes in Ireland, but import them from Germany and sell them here ad lib.
Kieran, I didn't get to talk about it. Can I mention the peat question?
And that's an example. You can't answer the peat question, Oisin, because it's a disgrace. And there's 17,000 jobs at risk in Irish horticulture. And you, or the group that you represent, never spoke up about it. He never said he were worried about them. And they're a very important group of people in Ireland.
Oisin, I know you said you wanted to jump in.
People who are going cold in their own homes.
Very, very finally. But Oisin, you wanted to jump in on peat, was it?
The issue is that we left it too late. I mean, the Irish government was advised by its own consultants, not by environmentalists, 20 years ago to start getting off peat. And if we hadn't built new power stations in 2005, and if we'd started in the year 2000, when we first published a climate action plan, to look at how we transitioned away from peat as a fuel source and as a horticultural source, we wouldn't be facing this. And we can't keep delaying action. Because what happens, therefore, is we face increasing actual impacts of climate change, and when we do make the changes to cut emissions, they come more abruptly and with less time to adapt and leave people high and dry, like the horticulture sector now. If they hadn't been told to keep going with peace 10 years ago or 20 years ago, we could have been well beyond this point now in a far more sustainable situation.
Oisin Coughlan, Director of Friends of the Earth Ireland, and Michael Healy-Ray, Independent TD for Kerry. I mentioned one text that came in. I'd love to hear other people's views on this issue of the increase in carbon taxes, 53106, because I found the front page of the Irish Times fascinating today. For people who didn't see it, I mentioned it there. It's a survey from Ipsos MRBI, and the question was asked of people whether they would personally support or oppose different climate measures. And overwhelmingly, people oppose anything that will increase taxes or charges on them, which is understandable, you might say. But at the same time, we're all told that we care about the climate. We accept it's the number one issue facing us, and we have to take drastic measures. But we don't want to take drastic measures that hit us in the pocket. And I think, dare I say it, all too often it's easy to suggest in the media, and I've probably been guilty of it, certainly we've been guilty of it here in News Talk, of maybe portraying the Healy-Rays, like Michael, who we just heard from, as being some sort of outliers, but they're not. You look at the front page of this, and as Michael said, they're the ones living in reality. It's the people in the bubble who aren't. The people who think that everybody wants increases in carbon taxes and increases in the cost of diesel cars and increase the taxes on air travel. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it, it appears. Anyway, 53106 is the text number. You can get those views into us. 1894 53106, the number for your calls.